You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. So great to see you. My name is Josh. I'm part of the team here. I'm excited to be bringing God's word today, especially welcome to you if you're tuning in online or if you're here visiting as part of the dedication party. So excited. If you've got a Bible, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're in a series called The Beatitudes, and we are exploring these blessings that Jesus gives at the start of the Sermon on the Mount, 8 pronouncements of blessings describing the kind of people, the kind of disciples Jesus wants us to be. And today, this is the beatitude we are on. We're at number 7, nearly finished, and this is the one we're on. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. How great was it to have the dedications today, guys? Wasn't it beautiful? And I'm excited to be sharing on being a peacemaker on the day we dedicate children. The irony is not lost on me, because how many of us know parents need help to be peacemakers? Anyone a parent in the room? Come on. I am a parent. I have 2 kids. And this week, my household has been the opposite of peaceful. My wife's had a chest infection. She's been in bed for much of the week. She's on antibiotics. I have 2 kids. I have a 2-year-old called Jesse, and he's amazing, but he's pretty wild. He's in his, as he describes it, his whacking phase. Anyone got a baby, a boy that's been a whacker? Do they grow out of it? Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you. I feel encouraged in church today. But hey, here, my big mistake. We got a photo of my daughter. She's 5. This was them on World Book Day. Our big mistake was giving my 2-year-old a dagger. If you want to know what original sin is, come round to my house. Okay? But he's amazing. I got a 5-year-old as well. That's Ivy. She's Tinkerbell. And she was born saved. So... but you shall know them by their fruit. How many of us know family life is complicated? Can we agree with that? Family life is complicated. Relationships are complicated. I've been married for over 10 years now, and we've had our fair share of conflict. We've been through seasons where peace feels far away. I remember when we got married first, we moved in together for the first time on our wedding night. And let me say, it took some getting used to. We had a few disagreements in those early years of marriage, a few moments of conflict. I remember one of the first arguments we had. I won't go into who was right, me, who was wrong. But what I can say is that Hannah threw a loaf of bread at me, and it hit me. But you know what? I've moved on. I've forgiven. I'm not going to keep bringing it up. I am a peacemaker. Right now, some of you can say amen to that. Right now, we live in a world desperately in need of peace, don't we? Turn on the news, have a scroll on your phone. It becomes so obvious that our world today is marked by chaos, conflict, and confusion. From wars between nations to deep political divides, from fractured communities to broken homes and dysfunctional relationships, for so many people, peace feels far away. Our world today is marked by disconnection, division, and disorder. Billions of people in our planet live every day with an inner lack of peace, and they're full maybe of anxiety and resentment and fear and anger. But the good news I want to bring today is that a life marked by peace with God and with one another is possible. Everyone say, peace is possible. Peace is possible because of Jesus. So what is peace? Well, peace is more than an absence of conflict. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it speaks to a state of wholeness, of completeness, of flourishing. Shalom is life as God intended it to be. It is when our relationship with God is fully restored, when our relationship with others is fully reconciled, when our hearts are rightly ordered. Shalom is the blessed, the harmonious, the abundant life. This is the life Jesus came to bring. One writer describes shalom as this total well-being, personally and communally. And peace is not just something God gives, but actually peace is who God is. Over and over in the Bible, God is referred to as a God of peace. Jesus himself is called the Prince of Peace. When he was born, he came into the world to a song of peace. The angels sang peace on earth. When he left, he went to heaven. He left a legacy of peace. In John 14, Jesus says to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. When Jesus rose from the dead, the first word he spoke when he appeared to his disciples was peace. His work on the cross was to accomplish peace between humanity and God and make way for peace to be established between us. One day he will come back and he will establish eternal peace in the new heaven and the new earth. He sent the Holy Spirit to fill us with peace and grow in us the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is peace. There are over 400 references in the Bible to peace. All of that to say that God calls us as his followers, as his children, to firstly know and receive his peace and then to distribute that peace to our broken and messy world. Right now in our world today, there are peace takers, people who will rob peace from your life. There are peace breakers, people who sow division and disunity. There are peace fakers, people who pretend everything's fine and then talk about you behind your back. There are peace shakers, those who thrive in the drama of life. Does anyone know any of those? In a world of peace takers and breakers and fakers and shakers, Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. We are peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now notice in this beatitude, Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those with peaceful personalities. He doesn't say, blessed are those who avoid conflict. He doesn't say, peace lovers or peacekeepers. He says, peacemakers. So who are the peacemakers? Well, peacemakers are agents of peace. Their job is to restore peace on earth, to bring peace to troubled hearts, and bring peace to broken situations. A peacemaker goes beyond avoiding conflict. Peacemaking is the intentional, active pursuit of relational reconciliation, firstly with God, and secondly with other people. The Apostle Paul writes this in Colossians 3, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace." Three thoughts on this. Firstly, we are called to peace. So if you're here and you're a Christian, you are called to be a peacemaker. You are called to bring peace into the world around you. We're called to live peaceably with one another and then actively bring the peace of God into situations around us, into conflict, into our work, into our church, into our situations. Every environment we set our feet, we are to be marked by peace and distributing peace. Number two, we are to be ruled by peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Anyone here into tennis? Anyone here a fan? No? Okay, I should have changed that. No one liked tennis. But here's the thing. The word rule there speaks of an umpire. So the peace of Christ is designed to be like the umpire of our lives, guiding us, helping us, just calling whether something is in or out. Our lives are to be submitted under the leadership of peace. How many of us have had relationships in our world broken down because we've operated out of a place of anxiety or fear or anger? There's been miscommunication, we've been frustrated, whatever it is. How different would it have been if we had been ruled instead by peace? Peacemakers are ruled by peace. And thirdly, peace is for unity. Paul here writes, "Since that we are members of one body, live at peace." That's a bit of the vision of peacemaking. We pursue peace because we're a body and we are one body. We are the body of Christ. And since we are the body, we belong to each other. And because we are one body, there has to be unity. We don't want disunity or division. We should be marked by the peace of Christ. This is the vision of peacemaking, that God's body, the church, we would be healthy and alive and united and full of love for one another as a demonstrable witness to our world. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. So what does a peacemaker do? I love this quote. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, writes this about peacemakers. He says this, "To be a peacemaker, do this. Put aside all bitterness and malice from you and say one to another, if in anything you have offended me, it is forgiven. And if in anything I have offended you, I confess my error. Let the breach be healed. And as the children of God, let us be in union with one another. Blessed are they who can do this, for blessed are the peacemakers." Isn't that challenging? That is mature Christian discipleship right there. And we know that is not easy. Because church, although it is a beautiful place, it is an imperfect place. It is full of imperfect people who may say or do things which rub you up the wrong way. Or people may not say or not do things that you expected or wanted them to do. People may do things to hurt you. People may do things to let you down. You will be frustrated. People will drop the ball. People will miss the mark. People will miscommunicate. But guys, this is what we're called to. Church is beautiful and it is messy. And I don't know if you know this, but growing in Christian maturity cannot happen anywhere else other than in community, in the church. This is how it works. It's easy to live at peace on your own at home. Anyone else realize that? It is easy. Some of you are like, I wish that was an option. Yeah, unfortunately, it's not. We are called to one another. We are called to be part of community, to the body, surrounded week by week, day by day, by people who are different, who you may disagree with, people who grind your gears, hurt you, offend you, or just plain annoy you. John Clark says this, people are God's heavenly sandpaper. Turn to the person next to you. You are sandpaper. No, I'm just joking. Don't say that. Don't say that. But here's how it works. We are surrounded by people different to us, different political opinions, different values, but we come together united under the banner of Jesus. And what happens is as we bump up against people, they rub the edges off us. They shave the edges off our life so that we become more like Jesus. This is how it works. If we will respond well, in this environment, we are called to be peacemakers. Romans 12:18 says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, if you're in Romans 12, underline that, as far as it depends on you, write it down, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you. The reality is, as we kind of go on this journey of being peacemakers, peacemakers can't control what anyone else does. We can't force peace upon people. We can't force relationships. All we can control is how we live and how we respond. I tell our team this all the time at church. We cannot control outcome. All we can control is input and attitude, bringing God our best, doing it well, doing it with a pure heart, and doing the right thing just because it is the right thing. We pursue peace, we are ruled by peace, and the rest is up to God. I think Spurgeon said it really well. If you want to know, let's get real practical for a moment, guys. This is peacemaking 101. If you have been sinned against, the way of Jesus is forgiveness. I choose not to take offense. I choose not to be bitter. I choose to let go and trust God. Blessed are the merciful. If we have sinned, so if we have been sinned against, the way of Jesus is forgiveness. If we have sinned, the way of Jesus is repentance. This is what peacemakers do. It's forgiveness and repentance. If we have sinned, we repent, we apologize first, and that is all we can do. What the other person does as you repent or as you forgive, that is beyond our control. All we can do is the right thing. And so how do we step into this high calling of being peacemakers? Well, the good news is Jesus doesn't just give us the beatitude on its own. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount, he's unpacking how do we practically live out these blessings that he gives us in the Beatitudes. And I've got three short passages from the Sermon on the Mount which draw attention to how we live out being a peacemaker. The first point is this, peacemakers are pure in heart. Peacemakers are pure in heart. Matthew 5, 21 to 24, just read on a few verses. Says this, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. So what Jesus does in this section here is elevating the significance of our hearts in discipleship. It's not enough, Jesus says, to simply not murder people. Jesus says, I'm going deeper. He exposes the heart of the issue. And the heart of the issue is always the issue of the heart. It's what's inside that counts for disciples of Christ. And Jesus is saying, it's impossible to be a peacemaker and be ruled by anger on the inside. And notice this beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, it comes directly after beatitude number 6, which is, do you remember last week? Blessed are the pure in heart. Meaning this, peacemaking begins with the heart. Until we are ruled by peace and purity in our hearts, we can't live a life of peace, and we certainly can't distribute peace to people. And so the first role, the first thing we do as we're on this journey of being peacemakers is to bring our hearts before the Lord, to surrender, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, purifying us from the inside out. Purity of heart ultimately is about closeness to Jesus and a desire to let nothing get in the way of my relationship with him and with other people. And from that place, we can become peacemakers. So peacemaking starts with the heart. Secondly, peacemakers pursue reconciliation. Verse 23, Jesus says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Now, this feels intense, doesn't it? But God does not want our offering of worship if we have sinned against someone and we have not made it right. That's how much God loves unity. There's a disconnect with someone here at church worshiping on a Sunday, hands raised in the air, but then Monday to Saturday living behind the scenes in anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. Jesus is saying there's a bit of a disconnect there. You want to go make things right with your brother and sister before you come to offer worship. And let's say reconciliation is worship. Jesus says if you are offering your gifts to God and remember that someone has something against you, go be reconciled. And it's important to say here that Jesus is speaking to the person who has done wrong in a situation. If you have sinned, Jesus says, if someone has been hurt by you, it is your responsibility to make it right. This is a peacemaker. You see, a peacemaker is not someone who never sins. We all sin. But peacemakers are those who apologize first, who keep short accounts, who repent quickly and live humbly. How many of our lives and relationships and marriages and friendships would carry more of the shalom of God if this was our posture? If I have done anything to offend you, forgive me. A few years ago, Hannah and I had a significant disagreement about something. We both, I think, said things that were pretty unhelpful, and we both thought that we were right. Have you ever been in that situation? You're both right, and it was like Batman versus the Joker, an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. And it's like, how do you get past these things? Let me say, it's the way of Jesus. It is going low. It is dying to self. It is saying sorry, even when you think you are in the right. It's saying, I shouldn't have said that. Hannah, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said I don't want to do the laundry at 10:30 at night. It's bedtime. Just getting that off my chest. We so often want to be right, don't we? We so often want to have the upper hand. We so often don't want to admit our wrongs, but peacemakers die to all of that. Peacemakers are poor in spirit. They recognize their own brokenness before God. Peacemakers mourn sin. They carry a weight of the consequence of what they've done. They are meek. They hunger for righteousness. Peacemakers are merciful. They're pure in heart. And then all of these things build and overflows not to a life of perfection, but to a life of peacemaking. And so, guys, whatever situation you find yourself in today, let me encourage you. Peacemakers take the initiative. Peacemakers live humbly. Peacemakers repent quickly. Pride says, I'm right. Humility says, I'm going to make this right. Peacemakers prioritize reconciliation where they have hurt someone. Now, it's important to say Jesus isn't saying, if you have been hurt, go be reconciled. Because it may be there's many situations where actually reconciliation isn't appropriate. Maybe the relationship can't be restored. Maybe there's no repentance on the part of the other person that's hurt you, or the pain is too great, or trust has been broken, or the offense is too significant for restoration of relationship. That's fine. What Jesus is talking about is ultimately when you have done wrong, go be the first one to say sorry. Peacemaking is about making things right. And finally, peacemaking breaks the cycle of retaliation. Verse 38, move on a few verses. This is wild. You have heard that it was said, Jesus, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, Do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Are you ready for the most countercultural verse in the Bible? Jesus said, you have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, disciples, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Enemy love is the most radical and countercultural of all of Jesus' teachings. And this is at the heart of what it means to be a peacemaker. You see, peacemakers refuse to pay back. They refuse to bite back. They refuse to hurt back. Instead, we pray. We love. We bless. We go beyond. We sacrifice. We turn the other cheek. We offer our coat. We go 2 miles. Peacemaking carries a significant personal cost. Maybe you're here and you're in one of these situations where someone has hurt you and you're trying to work out, how can I get back at them? The way of Jesus would say, don't get back at them. Let it go and let God be God. Peacemakers are those who, when hurt, when sinned against, when wounded, they respond not with retaliation or vengeance, but with love. A number of years ago, we went to Brazil for my brother's wedding. He married a Brazilian lady, and we had an amazing time. But on day one, we were in Rio, Copacabana Beach. We were walking along the beach, and we were approached by this group of guys, teenagers, and they were asking for the time. Obviously, we didn't speak Portuguese. And then all of a sudden, they grabbed my auntie's necklace, ripped it off her neck. It was worth a lot of money, and then ran off. And it was, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. It is just awful. I was overwhelmed with anger and frustration. I was gutted. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't step in. I couldn't say anything. And we were all feeling pretty shell-shocked. I was, in my heart, feeling so angry. And we sat down, we went and had a drink, and we were just processing this moment of violation and pain and hurt. And I remember just saying something out of a place of anger. I couldn't believe this has happened. Day one, it kind of changed the trajectory of our holiday. But my dad was there, and my dad quoted Jesus. He said this, Jesus said, as we're all being angry, Jesus said, do not resist an evil person. He said, we must pray. And so we're out for this drink. We've just had this moment. And then we stop and we pray. And my dad began to pray for the guy who just ripped that off. And it's like, as we began to pray for him, that God would break into his life, that God would bless him, that a miracle would happen. He would one day come to faith. My heart began to soften. And instead of being filled with anger, I just began to see this guy. What a broken story, broken life. So much poverty in Rio with the favelas and everything. It's like, I wonder what situation that guy came from. Lord, would you bless him? And my heart began to melt. This is the heart of a peacemaker. It's the heart of Jesus. He prayed for the people who were murdering him as they were murdering him. And this feels impossible, doesn't it? It can only happen by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your help. And then this is where I'm coming into land. The blessing of this beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let me just draw your attention to verse 44. Again, Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. We are most like our Heavenly Father when we are peacemaking, when we are forgiving, when we are dying to ourselves and humbling ourselves, when we are kind, when we repent, when we lower ourselves, when we refuse to take offense, when we believe the best, when we choose to make peace instead of build up walls of offense. It is in these moments that we most closely resemble our Heavenly Father. People will look at us as we are peacemaking, as we are walking across the room to build bridges, as we are serving, as we are loving. People will look at us and say, you look like Jesus. You resemble your Father in heaven. Peacemaking is so hard, but it is in some respects the pinnacle of the life of a disciple. Next week is the final beatitude, and it's about being persecuted. It's what people do to you in response to the life of a disciple of righteousness. And so peacemaking is like the final step of the ladder of something that we do, that Jesus calls us to do. And so we've climbed this ladder of discipleship, and the top is like, we are peacemakers. We draw people to make peace with God, and we bring people together in unity around Jesus. So blessed, Jesus says, are the peacemakers. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.